This is a FUBAR Radio podcast. If you need any more information, head to FUBARradio.com.
Well, hello there. Happy Friday, everybody, and welcome back,
Olivia Cox. It's good to be back.
We missed you. By the way, welcome to Pitch Talk. I'm Rachel Downey. I've got my... And I never really know, sidekick. What was, like, Robin to Batman?
Hang on.
Partner in crime?
I think he was, like, his manslave, wasn't he?
No, you're not my manslave. Okay, so you are... Welcome back, Olivia Cox.
thank you.
This is Pitch Talk. Just to let you guys know that coming up on today's show, we'll be bringing you, as always, all the latest from the world of sport and fitness. And some of the trending topics today, we will be chatting about the Australian Open, this weekend's FA Cup games. Obviously, Spurs is playing tomorrow. Tiger Woods, and of course, all the latest transfer news.
And we've also got Georgie Sperling coming in, who's going to be talking to us about being a PT and overcoming some personal battles, a bit of injury, which is going to lead us nicely into talking a little bit about sport psychology and how psychology works in the world of fitness. And I will bring you some groundbreaking news about a naked workout.
Very exciting.
Yeah, I know.
Very exciting.
I know. Hold on to your hats.
Oh, the things I want to say about that.
Just don't.
And Olivia, you had a wonderful time away last week.
I did. I was in the Marbella Club in, believe it or not, Marbella.
No, and I've lost that bet.
And it was, yeah, it was breathtaking. It was actually a wellness retreat, but I sort of did it half and half. I mean, I was on a bit of a detox package, but I retoxed every night just to make sure that the next day could
retoxed?
Be a detox drink.
Oh, that means I retox all the time.
Yeah, but you don't detox.
Never.
So, no, you're just drinking.
I understand. Oh, now I are. Well, there we go. Every day's a school
now
day.
Now it all makes sense. We've also got the Six Nations to have a chat about. And I believe we've got someone else coming in, haven't we?
Yeah, we do have a jam-packed show. But I just want to start chatting. The first story I want to talk about is Sanchez and his drugs test. This is what Arsene Wenger had to say about it earlier on.
Look, on Monday was a lot going on, and it is a special day for Alexis Sanchez because you have to do paperwork, you have to travel, you know, and is he still our player on Monday or not? You don't know, negotiations going on, so I think it's a special event for him to miss a drug test because he was certainly busy somewhere else. Although he has been tested so many times here, it is no worry for me that he has any doping problem. It's just a bad day for him to be tested.
Just to for people that are unaware of what's going on, Arsenal and Alexis Sanchez, they face a possible FA probe after it emerged a striker may have missed a drugs test on the day he moved to Manchester United. Now, Sanchez has been caught in UK anti-doping's whereabouts minefield following claims the Gunners failed to tell the FA he would not be at training on Monday. Olivia, what kind of punishment do you think either Sanchez should get or Arsenal should get?
I think this is, as it has been said, as Wenger has completely attested to, it is completely Arsenal's fault. I don't think this is Sanchez's fault. I think there are enough people around him that it's not the player's individual responsibility to be there. My temptation is to say that this is purely an error and a bit of a miscalculation, but maybe I'm being naive.
It's quite interesting as well how when you see a lot written about this whole anti-doping's whereabouts minefield, there's not been that much over the years with anti-doping allegations in football. So
no.
Maybe this is something that does go on a lot more than we are fully aware of. Sanchez hasn't spoken about this. We don't know anymore. We're not saying that Arsenal are at fault or Sanchez is. I don't know. I think Sanchez should take some responsibility. You sometimes hear about these sports people that I'm unaware the doping stand has changed. I'm unaware of this. I'm unaware of that. And then, you know, you've still got to take your own responsibility, haven't
you? You absolutely have. But in his defence, it is an odd day to try and test someone right in the middle of a big transfer deal. One of the biggest transfer deals that we've been talking about, certainly this year. Why were they trying to test him on Monday? Why, when it is unclear who is taking responsibility, whether it is Arsenal, whether it is the new club, Manchester United, why couldn't they wait until he got there?
But also, you know, a new player coming over to a new team, and it's very random. This is all very random. You know, you do pick someone, pick players at random. Someone going to a new team, it's good. You can't help but feel if it's something doesn't, if it's not rectified soon, there'll be quite a dark cloud, I think, over Sanchez. But then he is playing the FA Cup this evening. So if he scores for his new team, Man U, then I think it'll be forgotten about.
I think, yeah, all will be forgiven. I mean, yeah. he what was it, 80 goals he scored for Arsenal. I imagine that Manchester United are pretty keen to get him on the wagon for them.
Yeah, it will happen. And, you know, sticking with Sanchez, Yeovil chairman John Fry has blasted the obscene wages Manchester United are shelling out for Alexis Sanchez. The Chilean superstar could cover the Somerset club's entire player budget in just 3 weeks with his $505,000 a week pay.
I know.
Packet.
I mean, this is just, it's blowing, it blows your mind. Actually, if you delve into those statistics, I think it is something like 18 times the sum total of all the players on that one night for the Yeovil team are being covered by Sanchez, or would be covered by Sanchez if he wasn't obviously receiving his fee.
It's a ridiculous amount of money. I do think, I mean, we should never cap it because, you know, I like the way rugby is, I don't agree with capping of it. But there does come a point when you're earning over 500 grand a week. Come on.
Actually, you know what? I think I take it back. I think maybe he should be in the right place at the right time. With
yeah,
that
exactly.
amount of money.
Yeah, come on. This is. This
I mean, it's not difficult.
This isn't someone playing, you know, a lower league club. Some, you know, no. This is someone of this level. You know, when you're getting tested, but unfortunately, he's probably having a lot of smoke blown up his tuchus, as my nan would say, and he believes his own hype. One thing I just want to go on, and I love this headline in the paper: Glenn Gloom, FA chief exec Martin Glenn, aims to convince sponsors to stay put after the disastrous handling of Phil Neville's appointment as England women's football boss. Mm-hmm. Now, agreements are in place with Nike, EE, M&S and others, but the toxic environment at the FA has forced them into a rethink. Glenn's October appearance with Chairman Greg Clark at the House of Commons during a probe into Elia Luco's racism claims caused alarm. I mean, the FA at the moment, and I've got the tweets here, so as you know, Phil Neville is a new England's women's manager. He stupidly, back in 2012, tweeted his opinions of women. So this is one of them, and this is from his verified account. "You women, always wanting equality until it comes to paying the bills. Hashtag hypocrites." Another: "When I said morning men, I thought the women would have been busy preparing breakfast, getting kids ready, making the beds. Sorry, morning women."
Wow.
To be honest, that's prehistoric.
I mean, is
way
he,
of thinking.
Yeah, I was going to say, like, is he stuck in the 1950s?
I mean, what do you think, Olivia? Do you think he should lose his job, or do you think someone deserves a second chance for something they did years ago?
I mean, this is being taken quite out of context because, obviously, he wasn't in the running for this kind of job. This wasn't on the horizon for him at all. That said, it should never be said.
Never.
And the fact that he is hitting out about women not paying bills, well, maybe we should have a little bit of a look at how much our female soccer players, football players, are being paid in comparison to the male players. But one of the big controversies that has now come about is the fact that people are blasting Phil Neville and saying he shouldn't be there because he doesn't have enough management experience of a women's club. But actually, he doesn't have enough management.
Yeah,
full
I don't think
stop.
It's to do with the women's club at all. You know, it's great for us to be able to see what he can do. Number one, I don't think they should have had him anyway. I don't think he is good enough as a manager. I think the FA will get rid of him.
I also think it's a bit. It's very telling that in previous interviews he has said that the decision is a stepping stone. So this isn't actually what he sees as his goal. He's using it very much to
was
get somewhere else.
Was that taken out of context, or did he actually say that?
I believe he actually said it in pretty much so many words. He was speaking to Radio 5 Live, and he was saying that the job was the right development path for him. And now he is in charge of a team trying to win a World Cup. That's how it ultimately boils down. And that's the pinnacle of the sport. Yeah, he's speaking of it as a training exercise. So more a stepping stone, actually, on his part
I mean, that is,
to a proper job.
Yeah, no, number one, proper job, absolutely no way. He's lucky he's got this position. And to be honest with you, I personally think the FA will get rid of him. I mean, just look at what they did with Sam Allardyce when the controversy came out with him. I still don't think they should have got rid of Sam Allardyce whatsoever, but they did, because if the fuss carries on with Neville, they will have to get rid of him. And I'll be very quick, but just to say that there has been a statement by him saying, following comments made a number of years ago, I'd like to clarify that they were not and are not a true and genuine reflection of either my character or beliefs, and would like to apologise. I'm fully aware of my responsibilities as the England women's head coach, and am immensely proud and honoured to have been given the role. I am now looking forward to the future and will work tirelessly to try and help bring success to the team.
Wow, I mean, if he apologises, then that's all fine then, isn't it?
I mean, we're all good. I don't know. stupid little women making a fuss.
Back in our box. We'll get on to clean the kitchen.
I mean, yeah, exactly. I mean, I'll pat myself on the head. I really will. I do apologise. And we've also got here one little thing with football, that one of the most prestigious charity events in football is to induct England, Chelsea, West Ham, Manchester City and New York City legend Frank Lampard into its roll call of all-time greats. It is the football world's most prestigious charity. I think that's brilliant. Frank Lampard, OBE, absolutely fantastic. It's something that he needs to start getting honoured, I think, on this level. It's Frank Lampard. The Legends of Football will celebrate the only Frank Lampard at their star-studded event on October the 8th at the Grosvenor Hotel. He has said as well that he is very honoured to get this honour, as it were, and to be amongst some of the greats. You know, this is it's Frank Lampard. He's one of the greats.
I mean, he's following in the footsteps of Sir Alex Ferguson, Alan Shearer, Eric Cantona.
I love Eric Cantona.
It's really a who's who of the big names in football. So do stay tuned to this, because we will be bringing you more and more news as we get closer to the date. And of course, it is in support of the Nordoff Robbins charity, who were the same people behind the rugby dinner that we were at a couple of weeks ago. And we did get to speak to some of the players there. So hopefully it should be an awesome night on October the 8th. And we are thrilled for Frank Lampard.
And we will try our best to gate crash the event. I said that very husky, didn't I?
You did. I'm hoping that we might legitimately go to the event, but yeah, if not, then we'll resort to gate crashing.
Yeah, I'll do it. Now, before we go anywhere, let's talk about Tiger Woods. He was trying for his big comeback. The odds for Woods to win a major this year is 20-1. Mm. Back down to 129th place at the start. I mean, you know, Tiger Woods is a legend amongst many. And when he turned up, there was a huge applause. Everyone supports Tiger Woods because I think people want to see the greatness of old. He hasn't played for about 5 years due to injury problems. And then he had an operation on his lower back, I think it was 2 years ago. He ended the game yesterday at level par 72. And he said here, I have to tidy things up and go again. And a lot of people are quoting, the greatest show in golf is back on the road. What do you think about Tiger Woods?
I mean, Tiger Woods has been surrounded by controversy ever since a few allegations came up against him. And it was a bit of a shame because it sort of took away what we knew Tiger Woods for, and it detracted from the actual sport and the fact that he is a very, very skilled golfer. He says he still feels the same excitement in competitive golf, but you can't help thinking, is his heart still in it? Is this really where he needs to be? Is it where he wants to be? He was one of the highest paid sportsmen. Why is he back?
It's addictive, isn't it? That level of success, the adulation. I would say, as with, and you know what sports people are like, it's the adrenaline. It's something that he has met that and be amongst that level of success for so many years. He wants that back. But his lifestyle now is very different to how it used to be.
It is. And I mean, the reports that are coming through in The Guardian, they say Tiger Woods, a lost, sorry soul who was once invincible. Now, to me, sportsmen and women, you go out on a high.
You do, but then that's the bigger thing as well, isn't it? When is enough? When do you say this is it? Because you think, I could do it one more time. And the thing is, Tiger Woods, he crashed down spectacularly all those years ago. So he probably wants to be remembered not for the mess of his, you know, his affairs,
his personal life.
He wants to be remembered. It did muddy the water.
And of course, he is largely to thank for bringing the sport into a fresh commercial landscape. And of course, it means that golf is now a captivating sport. It has a lot more sponsors. It is a world-renowned championship game. But I'm not sure. I don't know. What do you think? You think he should have come back? I'm not sure. I'm on the fence. I'm going to sit quietly
on
the fence.
I'd like to see glimmers of the greatness, yes. And I think it's still in there. I think he's just maybe got inner demons that he needs to get over. And maybe this persisting injury. We are going to take a little breather. I think I felt the breather then amongst us. We're like,
there was a bit of a sigh there. We are going to pick up this topic of sports psychology and psychology and fitness a little bit later on with Georgie and in our fitness section. But yeah, let's have a break.
Let's have a break. We will be bringing sports broadcaster and journalist Anne-Marie Batson into the studio talking everything tennis and the Australian Open. So don't go anywhere. Take a little glass of water. Don't make a cup of tea. You might not have enough time. And we'll see you in a few minutes.
Again, sad match. Brian.
Unbelievable. Longest point of the match. Metkowski. Swing and a miss.
Oh, it's just gone wide. That is world-class doubles from all four players. Yeah, that's effortless from Xie Suwei. The way she just drops. They do get through, finally.
Yeah.
Savos and Mladenovic take the opening set, six games to four.
We really enjoy playing together. We improved overall, I think, every single match. So our spirit and our friendship together, it really helped through the week.
What a comprehensive win that was for the world number two. Caroline Wozniacki's into the last eight here in Melbourne without any fuss whatsoever.
I'm just excited. It's another finals. It's another great 2 weeks. And regardless of what happens now, you know, I've done my best. And when you go out there on Saturday, you have everything to win.
Carl Edmund, his wonderful journey. He's added to some British tennis history. It comes to an end.
So, Sebastian, you've been in a Grand Slam final before. This is also a big moment. And Robert, it's his first time. So what a great experience.
Yeah, like Rob said, we were fighting for this a long time ago. It's a big experience. We're trying to enjoy that as much as we can. So, I don't know, I just got to thank everybody for staying, seeing this match until this time, all the Colombia supporting us.
Ladies and gentlemen, unfortunately, Mr. Chung is unable to continue to play in the tires. Federer, 6-1, 5-2,
this match, is it enough? Match point number four. It's not. The number one player in the world will have an opportunity to play for the title here in Australia.
Well, welcome back. And on that note, we are going to be talking everything tennis, everything Australia Open with Anne-Marie Batson. Hello!
Hello, ladies.
Hello. How are you, Anne-Marie?
I'm very well. How are the both of you?
We're good.
Very good, thank you.
I'm very excited to have you. So
yes. Thank you.
I've known Anne-Marie a couple of years now.
Yes, we do. Yeah.
I saw you last at the Football Blacklist.
Yes.
So our viewers have a little bit of a background. Tell us a little bit about yourself and how you got into sport, first of all.
Okay, so I come from a sporting family. My uncle is Brendan Batson. He's a former West Brom player. He was part of the Three Degrees. And he and I used to talk about football all the time. We'd have debates about the game, the politics around the game and so on and so forth. I used to go and watch my dad play as well on the sidelines. And I used to do 100 metres running as well. So my love of sport competitiveness came from that. And it's built from then on. So I studied media, really wanted to get into sports broadcasting, but kind of took a different turn and then have come back into it. So now I work in sports journalism and broadcasting. And my passions are tennis, football and netball.
And what an exciting day to come in and talk to us about tennis.
Absolutely.
I mean, I was looking at the news this morning, and by the time I met Rachel, everything had changed. What's your opinion of Federer taking the win at the Australian Open?
Do you know what? I'm going to say it's slightly disappointing. I think it was such a build-up before the game, knowing that you had this South Korean, the first time he made the quarters for Chung, the first time he made the semi-final. He's identified as a next-gen, so we were hoping he would take that battle to Federer.
And see a battle as well,
and it wasn't meant to be. And I think for now, you know, Federer's got one hand on the trophy already. I really believe that. And he's going for his 20th title, and why not? He is the master when it comes to tennis on the men's side.
He really is. So he's hard to beat. And talking about on the men's side, Carl Edmund. Now, obviously, we're all very disappointed he couldn't go take it any further. But we've seen the birth of a star. Like, compared to how he was, what, a year ago, 2 years ago. First of all, what's changed with him, do you think?
His coaching setup has changed. He's brought in Mark Hilton, who's based here, and a chap called Frederick Rodgerson, who travels with Edmund over to the Bahamas. And Rodgerson has built in this thing with Edmund now about building his confidence. The problem that Edmund had is that he would take himself through five setters and get to match point, and then his confidence would just drop, or a forehand would go long. And Ronson has brought that confidence back into him and say, look, just go for it. Your massive weapon for you is your forehand, and people are frightened of it. Use that, believe in that, and that's what's made the difference. And what's fantastic about Edmund is that he's going to, when the rankings come out on Monday, he'll be round about world number 29, but he will overtake Andy Murray in terms of who will be the number one male player of Great Britain next week.
Which is crazy, isn't it?
It's a remarkable achievement, and he's turned a real corner, and I really see him now as a top 20 player.
And of course, he'll be out in Marbella next weekend for the Davis Cup. How do you see that going?
I think it's going to be a difficult one. It's on the clay, and definitely Edmund's going to be the talisman for the Davis Cup. Without Andy Murray, I think their jobs are going to be a little bit harder, but they will give it 100%, and that's for sure. And the crowd behind them, I think they'll do okay, but I'm not sure they'll go through all the way in the competition.
And I like the quote in the press today. This Edmund was saying, I've got a taste for this and I want more. And again, we're talking about this later, the psychological aspect of playing any sport. But when you do taste that winning, that success, it is addictive, isn't it?
Absolutely. Edmund talked about he now understands how Andy Murray feels over the last 8 years. All the cameras on you, you're scrutinised. And let's not forget, Edmund is naturally shy. He's a very shy guy. I read somewhere once that in his teenage years, he couldn't even order something off the menu in a restaurant. It'd have to be his family or friends because he was chronically shy.
And now look at him.
Him now, playing on the Rod Laver Arena, you know, making the semi-finals. He's going to be Great Britain's number one next week. It's a remarkable achievement for him, and I think we've got good things coming for him in the next few years.
He obviously does have, as you say, the chronic shyness and quite a few personal struggles, and he actually spoke last year about being trolled online, and it does feel like that could have affected his confidence a bit. There were a couple of threats actually that he had on Facebook that he screen grabbed to share with his followers, and one of them said that he needed to be brutally raped and slaughtered. How do you think that affects a young person coming to their peak in a sport? What do you think it takes to get back out there and prove them wrong?
Absolutely, by playing the game, showing people what you've got. I cannot imagine what it is like to read those types of tweets and posts. Another example is Madison Keys. She was tweeting after her loss this week. Some of the racist tweets that she was sent, absolutely horrific. But you know what? It's about playing the game and showing people, actually, I am the best. This is what I do. Go away and leave me alone, and I'll get on with my job.
And would you say they are trained to know how to deal with this and know how to kind of cope with trolling? And or again, do you think
it's a very modern threat, isn't it?
It is a very modern threat.
Something that you imagine that the players coming through now must have to build into their repertoire, actually, into their armour.
Absolutely. Tennis is about endurance, but it's also about mental strength. It's been able to block out everything around you, and I think that will help them in terms of social media trolling. When you're playing in front of a stadium like the Rod Laver and you've got everybody screaming your name and all that pressure, you've just got to focus and getting your points, and I think that will help them in terms of just ignoring all the haters and just go out and do your job. That's all you need to do.
We'll talk about the women's in a sec, but do you think that's maybe Andy Murray's problem, that he does let things affect him? or
he does sometimes. In the last couple of years, he has let his emotions tend to ride over. You see him sometimes. He's shouted at his box. Sometimes he gets quite irritated.
Yeah.
But did you also see that Edmund in his semi-final got into a slight argument with the referee as well about a point, but use that anger and use that frustration in your playing? That's the best way to direct that emotion.
I mean, there are some classic examples of tennis players really losing their shit, I think it's fair to say, and throwing rackets down. And
that's beautifully said.
It is one of those sports where they really, the only way for them to show their aggression sometimes is to misbehave. And frankly, it does feel like sometimes they do need maybe a little bit more mental coaching, or as you say, a new coaching strategy.
Yeah, absolutely.
To really channel that into the game.
Yeah. But also the heat out in the Australian Open, that's been, do you think it's been borderline maybe they shouldn't have carried on playing sometimes?
I do think there was 2 days, I think, when the temperature reached about 40 degrees C.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
I think they should have imposed the heat rule. The problem with the heat rule, it's not just about the temperatures, it's about the levels of humidity and the air quality, all this technical stuff.
It.
And that's how they make the decision. I couldn't have done it either. No. And amazing, like Nadal, who plays, and other people
they're
like Emma,
they're
used to this. But at 40 degrees, when you're slamming balls at 100 miles per hour and you're running backwards of all the court, I cannot imagine what that is like. And I think the question will be asked, why did they not, in terms of the organisers of the Open, they should have at least considered the heat rule.
Yeah, I completely agree with you. Let's look at, well, the ladies, Simona Halep and Caroline Wozniacki.
Yeah. Where to
an
start with these two?
Exciting. I literally can't wait. That's tomorrow, isn't it?
That's right, absolutely. 7:30 in the morning.
Oh, something. What
Thank
do
you
think
time difference.
Happen?
I have to say, I'm not looking forward to getting up for that one.
Oh, I am. I've been getting up at, you know, 2, 3, 4 o'clock in the morning. Because
it's dedication.
It's
dedication.
The love of the game of getting up at that hour to watch. But then I've seen some absolute corkers. I think the story of the tournament, besides what happened at the beginning with the whole Djokovic meeting, shall we say, in inverted commas, has been about the women, because we haven't had Serena. So you've had about 13, 14 players who need to get on the board.
Seems more equal in a way, because you don't
Absolutely.
Have the winner coming already, with Serena. I'm so excited. Yes, sorry, to back.
No.
I'm so excited about it, though.
I'm really excited for a couple of things. This is a match where the number one ranking will be decided. Even though Simona Halep is number one right now, that could all change if Wozniacki wins tomorrow. They're both going for their maiden Grand Slam.
She's been away, hasn't she, as well, Wozniacki, for a while.
She had an injury as well. Simona Halep has had that thing on both the players have had that thing on their shoulders of being number one, but without a Grand Slam title. And then they're credibility has been questioned. Both of them have reached semi-finals and have lost. So you had Simona losing to Ostapenko in the French Open last year. She that totally went away from her. And then Wozniacki lost to Kim Clijsters and Serena Williams at the US Open. So they've both got it to play for. They're both counter strikers. They will hit the ball hard. They will run backwards and forwards of the court, defend points. I think it will be one of the best finals we will see, because they're putting it all out on the court.
They've got nothing to lose.
The other player that I'd like to touch on, of course, is Sharapova. This was her big comeback. And I mean, there was a lot of controversy surrounding her place out at the Australian Open. But she's come back after quite a large loss, and there are now thoughts: should she be carrying on? Was that her time? Is it time to bow out? Will she be well received after such a loss?
There are a lot of fans out there for Maria Sharapova. That will never dim. I think you've hit a really good point. Has her time passed? I think so. I think so. You've got people like Ostapenko, Halep we just talked about, Wozniacki, Angelique Kerber, Serena that's coming back. I think now that time of, I know Maria wants to win another Grand Slam. Good luck, my dear.
She wants to prove that she is still there despite what, in her words, she thinks she has been through. Now, I mean, we could
think
speak
she should
for
play?
Hours.
Do you think she should be allowed back?
I think she should be allowed back, but I think she should go through the proper channels. What has been been really interesting is that Wimbledon and the French Open organisers were very firm about, you're going to have to follow the rules, my dear. Mm. Whereas the Australian Open and the US Open, where she's got the biggest amount of fans, were in your car.
That's why. Yeah. It's a money-making thing.
And tennis needs to have a deep look at itself. Mm. It cannot have this grey area of one rule for one player and one for another. And that was the big row that was caused when she came back on the scene.
Very quickly, who do you think will win the ladies tomorrow?
Halep, Simona Halep.
Straight away.
That was very quick.
I'm impressed. And moving forward, what tennis players do you think are the ones to watch for us?
I would say, I was wondering about this question. There is about six or seven to watch out for.
And that's an amazing situation.
I think it is. You've got Alina Svitolina from the Ukraine, who's fantastic. Mm-hmm. Simona Halep will need to retain, if she wins on Saturday, the number one title. You've got Serena coming back.
So exciting.
Ostapenko, Angelique Kerber. Daria Gavrilova is an exciting talent that Serena has identified as probably the next big thing. Caroline Garcia. There are names that mm-hmm. I could reel out for you, but they're the ones to keep an eye on, I think, definitely. And the rankings are out next week, so have a look at that and see who are going to be the up-and-comings for the season.
So exciting.
I'm really excited for the women's game. I think this has been really good.
It's been and it is a great start to the year. It is very exciting, as you say, and thank you for sharing your input.
Oh, most welcome, ladies. Thank you.
Anne-Marie, will you come back on again?
I would love to. Just tell me when and I'll be here.
We would love that.
Brilliant.
I feel I've learned a lot. I feel I need to put money on the match tomorrow. That's all I'm going to say.
Someone lock her up.
Please do. It's a lot easier. But Anne-Marie, thank you so much for joining us. Give a round of applause, please, for Anne-Marie.
Thank you, Anne-Marie.
We'll see you again very, very soon. And we are going to also take a little breather. Don't go anywhere. We'll see you on the other side of this.
Fubar Radio presents.
Good afternoon, it's Friday, it's 4 o'clock, it's Back Row and Chill. I'm Johanna James, though. Obviously, Beyonce has been cast as Nala, so she's going to be opposite Donald Glover.
Because really, in these live actions, it's all about their voices, you know, because you're not going to see them as the lions, are you? So, what is Beyonce going to do to Hakuna Matata? That's going to be
She's going to add some lemonade
some
stuff.
Some single ladies lemonade stuff to Can Hakuna Matata. That'd be sick.
Back Row and Chill with Johanna James.
Every Friday from 4 p.m.
Hello and welcome. My name is Callum McSwiggan.
I tried being vegetarian once and I lasted about 3 months before I found myself face down in a pile of Chinese chicken.
Oh, yeah.
But the one really positive thing I got out of it was that it made my cum taste a lot sweeter. Riyadh's gone all embarrassed. He's covering his face.
The colour. Now anyone listening is kind of thinking, how can you possibly know what your cum
taste
tastes like?
Callum McSwiggan.
Every Wednesday from 6 p.m.
Oh, hello, my name's Joey Page. I sound like this. He's Sir Thomas, he sounds like that.
That's the way I sound like this.
Yeah. I'm very excited to welcome into the studio Saint Raymond. What was the last picture that you took on your phone?
I went to Wagamama's. My view was of Wembley in the arch. I think that's
oh,
the last
nice,
photo,
actually. Nice. I love a Wagamama.
I like solo eating as well because I don't feel guilty for how much I order.
There's no pressure.
But you're putting a lot of emotional strain on other people in the restaurant because they're looking going, oh, he's got no one.
Yeah.
Joey Page.
Every Wednesday from 2 p.m.
Hello, I'm of course Sean Walsh, joined as always by Mark Simmons.
I've remembered a dream. So I was a seagull and then I was walking along and then I saw a fox, right?
Yeah.
And I thought, oh God, the fox is going to eat me.
Yeah.
So I put on a fox mask, but the fox fell for it.
Yeah.
Stupid fox. And then it came up. And started having sex with me.
I can't believe this.
I know.
Newsish with Sean Walsh and Mark Simmons.
Every Tuesday from 12 p.m.
You're locked into FUBAR.
It's myself, Sarah Love.
And myself, Mike Sneaky. Natty P, man, welcome to the
yes,
show,
sir,
brother.
Yes, thanks for having me,
yes,
man.
Yes, good to have you, man.
Jeez.
So who have you worked with throughout this 20 years so far?
So I've worked with Doc Brown, Loki, Pagey Cakey, Wretch 32, yeah. Loom Generals.
Some people have come and gone as well.
Yeah,
like you,
exactly.
You've been through...
Yeah, I've seen hip-hop go from just being sort of like a man named Sausage Fest only thing to being like actually having women
right,
at the rave.
Yeah,
exactly.
Sarah Love and My Stiggy.
Every Monday from 4 p.m.
You're listening to FUBAR Radio.
FUBAR Radio.
FUBAR Radio.
FUBAR Radio.
FUBAR Radio.
Do you know what? I love that trailer.
I know. I was just thinking.
It's like FUBAR Radio. This is FUBAR Radio.
Who do you think we're listening to? FUBAR Radio?
This is Pitch Talk. Welcome back. That was Anne-Marie Batson chatting everything about the Australian Open. I feel very knowledgeable now. I do want to play Sid Bat, but that's like my issue. I've got to deal with it. Olivia, I believe you have a competition
I
for
do.
Us.
I have some wonderful news. If you are basketball fans, then... would you like to win some tickets to the London
yeah.
Lions?
So I'm helping you here.
Now, they're playing on February the 9th against Worcester. Oh, God. Worcester? Worcester? It's Worcester, isn't it? Worcester. producer. Oh, no, no, no. This is like charades.
Oh, I like a good
two
game.
Two syllables. I think
charades
it's Worcester.
On the radio.
The Worcester Wolves at home in Stratford. Well, if you want to win, simply head to FUBAR Radio's Twitter, which is at FUBAR Radio. Give us a follow if you haven't already, you naughty thing, and retweet the image that we're posting right now. So that's follow and retweet to win tickets to the match.
Thank you very much, Olivia Cox.
You are so welcome.
I love a good little freebie as well. So do make sure you enter that competition. Now, you're probably thinking, well, they must have a guest in the studio. What's happening here? Oh, we've got an absolutely stunning guest right now, Georgie Sperling. Can
Stop
we have a round
it.
Of applause, please? I'm clapping on my own. There we go.
Georgie.
I'm blushing.
Hello.
Georgie.
Welcome Hi. To the show. Welcome to Pitch Talk. How are you today?
I'm wonderful. Thank you so much for having me.
That's okay. It's absolutely our pleasure.
We are so excited to have Georgie because not only is she stunning, as you will all
stop.
Be able to
stop
see
her.
On our Instagram,
stop,
but she...
Stop.
No, just a little bit
just
more.
Stop.
She, Georgie is very inspirational. She is a professionally trained PT. She has been a dancer and what we really want to talk to you about, Georgie, is how you've overcome quite a few hurdles on your path, really,
yeah.
to becoming a banging bod.
Beautifully said there, Olivia Cox. Yeah, so Georgie, we'll start right back at the beginning. You had a heart problem when you were younger.
Yeah, so I was born with a heart condition that I'm going to have for the rest of my life. Mm-hmm. And when I was younger, the doctors told me that I couldn't really exercise at all, apart from the odd dog walk here and there. And so my family, growing up, my dad's a professional golfer, well, was.
Wow.
My brother's one of those all-round, like, sick at every sport. So I,
him.
Me being competitive, was like, no, I want to join in. So I kind of stuck two fingers up at the doctors. And when I was sort of upper sixth form, end of school, beginning of uni, I started to participate in sports and fell in love with it and danced and just, much to my doctor's disbelief, just got more and more and more into fitness and health.
And do you think that's helped your condition or have you had any feedback from your doctors? Because obviously you are still persevering wholeheartedly with the fitness. Do you think that that has helped you? I mean, certainly it must have helped your mental strength.
Yeah, I think a lot of what I preach to my clients is that fitness is not just about aesthetics, as we all know. It's about how it makes you feel, how good it makes you like look at yourself. And everyone's so different. That's the thing. So yeah, it's definitely helped me mentally sort of forget what's in the past and just do my own thing. I'm very, very stubborn. So,
which is a good thing.
Yeah. It is a good thing. And, you know, every time I go back to the doctors, they're like, what are you doing? Like, what are you doing? And I'm like,
Iron
no,
Man.
I just want to do this. But it hasn't made it worse. It hasn't made it better. So therefore, I'm going to continue doing what I want to do.
And you had a beautiful story that you got into the arts and you loved the performing side. But then, you know, because I used to be a dancer. And it's a very different world when you're out there and the pressures that you're under. And the uncertainty. And I think a lot of performers, we're not the most secure people. So that level of uncertainty really affects you.
It really does. I think anyone who's been to drama school or trained in arts of some form will know that it's like a constant kick in the face.
and it is in the face as well.
It's brutal. But, you know, it gives you resilience. It, like, toughens you up a lot, which gives you a lot of skills, I think, for the professional working world.
That's true.
I don't regret it.
No.
And I still would love to act, but the industry, the up and downness is just not for me right now. And so I found this passion from dancing and learning about how our bodies move individually, like not just going to classes and everyone doing the same thing. The way I train my clients is very unique and bespoke to them.
Yeah.
So, and I learned that through years of dancing and moving on stage. So, yeah, I think that it's taught me so much that I will always remember and use in my method.
Well, I've actually seen Georgie in action several times. I've trained with her.
Oh, really?
And she is known as the resistance band queen or the resistance band bitch because it hurts like hell.
Yeah.
Your method is very much, it's super high intensity in that it burns.
Ooh,
it really
that scares
burns.
Me.
How do you find that place in your mind? Is it a mental strength? How do you get to that point of bullying your body?
Bullying your body.
I would just love to see people in pain. No, I'm joking.
Yeah.
I'm joking. So, again, going back to the ballet thing, it hurts. It really hurts. And using, we sometimes don't use muscles that are way deeper in our body. And I think that my method will wake up muscles that maybe you haven't used so much before.
Oh, those poor muscles.
I know.
That's scary.
Leave them alone.
It's very small movements. People are almost like, I can't believe this is hurting as much as it's hurting.
Yeah.
But it's the way I like to train myself. So why wouldn't I then train other people in the same way?
Yeah.
But again, everyone's different. I'll take individuals and what your goal is and stuff like that. But yeah, no, I love pain.
Do you know what? That's the best sentence I think we've heard.
I actually think I'm imagining it now, the tweet with the soundbite, Georgie Sperling loves pain.
Yeah, exactly.
We've got to have another session, Liv.
Yes, shall we? Shall we all do one? Shall we do it on
definitely.
Camera?
Yeah.
Bad
yeah,
bitches.
Shall we? Yeah, bitches. I'd be up for that. And let's do it on camera. We'll come and 100%. We'll come film.
Yeah.
So tell me what would be expected in said PT class.
Said
class.
Hashtag bad
Is
bitches.
Is it an hour long? How does it all work?
So it depends. I train at a lot of offices that I do 35 minutes in and out because they don't have the time.
That's perfect.
Yeah. And they leave sweating, but it's...
gentle sweat, though.
Yeah. I'm a nice person.
Just in case, you know, you don't shower, like me.
Yeah. I was going to say old stinky there.
But she works so hard. She's, you know, she's always working out. So
thanks, babe.
It's okay.
She's allowed to stink.
But yeah, it varies a lot. But with sort of one-to-one clients, like I go to their houses, it is an hour. But a lot of it is spent sort of working on areas of their weakness. And sort of stretching, stuff like that. So it's not full on an hour. I mean, it's nearly full on an hour, but it's 10 minutes.
A little bit less.
Yeah.
And in part of your bio, you're a social media wizard. Do you think being part of social media has helped you with your profile in getting clients, in getting your method across to more people?
I have to say no.
That's interesting, actually.
I know, rogue, but it's just...
rogue. A little bit crazy.
It's definitely helped my name as a PT, but a lot of people still ask me on Instagram, are you a personal trainer? What do you do as a job? Even though it's in my bio.
Wow.
It's like, okay.
Those people are keepers.
Yeah, I know,
they are.
You do get a lot of weird messages, but I think it's helped me sort of develop my own method, but it hasn't helped me get clients. My clients are very sort of specific, high profile people. Mm. So they're not on Instagram. So the circle I've got myself into, very lucky. But
you're with a group of cool people. I'd love not to be on social media.
I know.
I'd love to be that cool that I don't need it.
Are you allowed to talk about who you've trained?
Some.
She's like, Olivia, please.
Olivia Cox, that's one.
I know her very well.
But I'm not high profile enough not to be on social media. What about, tell us someone who will make us go, ooh.
So the thing is, they're not celebrities. They're just, they're high
net worth
profile. So there was, yeah.
Yeah.
But, you know, in terms of, you know.
We won't push it.
Yeah.
We understand. We can see you sweating. You're like, I'm moving my body right now, people.
I know.
Take the hint.
Okay, well, in that case, let me ask you an easier question.
Yeah.
Talk to me about Poppy.
Wait.
The love of my life.
Poppy. Now, my dad's nickname is also Poppy, so am I about to have a revelation right now?
So Poppy is my little dog.
Oh, it's okay.
It's okay. And she's a year and a half, and I just take her everywhere. All my clients love her. You know, the gym I used to work at that Olivia still goes to occasionally, love her. She's just, yeah.
Now, the last time that Georgie and I actually worked out together was at a Sims press launch. Now, Sims being that game back in the day.
Oh, it was in Sims.
As in the Sims.
Yeah.
So this was Sims 4 cats and dogs, and they invited us to go down with a pet. So I hijacked Georgie and Poppy for the morning, and they turned Poppy into a Sim. I'll dig out the picture get it out on the FUBAR radio. I have to say, though, she wasn't that keen to do any exercise.
No, unfortunately, she's not very well behaved.
Now, I'm dead inside when it comes to animals, but this is a dog we're talking about, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
But dog training with your dog is now a thing, isn't it?
They're not going to be next to me. If I'm on the treadmill, I'm not going to see a dog next to me.
I mean,
on
the guy
well.
Who was teaching it was very enthusiastic, wasn't he?
It was more a coaching session for badly behaved dogs. But I have seen, and this will make Rachel want to be sick in the corner, dog yoga classes.
I'm going to be sick in my mouth.
Shall we go?
Yes, I think
Shall
so.
Shall we go?
And I also have a friend whose Labrador is regularly checked into hydrotherapy.
Stop
classes.
It.
Yeah.
Really?
I know, right?
I don't understand what's happening
I think
now.
Poppy would love that because she jumps into any pond, lake she sees, so loves the water.
Animals do that. Doesn't mean you put them into a yoga class.
Yeah.
Surely.
Rachel's reached a whole
it's like
new level
a child.
Of
But I wouldn't
superstar.
Put my child... Well, I might put my child in a yoga
exactly,
class.
Exactly.
Wouldn't put my child in a pond, though. But again, it depends what my child does. That's why I don't have children, so I'm going to move on very, very swiftly. For people wanting to get into shape and wanting to get healthy, it's very difficult. And again, we've spoken about the mental side of things. If you haven't worked out in a long time to get that mental state, you're obviously someone mentally very strong. What tips would you give people that are maybe scared to go and work out or feeling intimidated to go to the gym?
Yeah, so my number one tip to getting fit, as you want to call it, is to find an exercise that you like, whether it be badminton, tennis, Zumba, CrossFit, whatever you want. You need to enjoy it to be able to stick to it and sort of find a class, find a group of friends, and stick to that.
Yeah.
And there's no point in working out if you're not enjoying it. There's just no point. Also, don't beat yourself up. You know, don't say I'm going to do four times a week, then you do two and you're hating yourself.
You're never going back again.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, everyone's got to start somewhere. I started from bottom level. Like I hadn't been allowed to do any exercise most of my life. So, and then, you know, now I'm hardcore, I want to say.
You are very hardcore.
Now I'm the toughest bitch ever.
If anyone listening does not already follow Georgie on Instagram, then you really should head on over. It's at Georgie Sperling. And I'm particularly taken by a recent post of you on a beach doing a handstand.
Oh, I saw that.
Oh, the video.
Those legs. I was
jealous. Did you like it? Oh, no, well... It's taken a lot of practice. I'm not, you know, naturally coordinated.
There's a lot of hate coming from me then. It's not real hate. It's more jealousy and slight bitterness at my lack of moving.
Yeah, I really want to be a yogi, but I should practice what I preach and just not do what I don't like. You know, yoga's not my thing, but, you know, I see all these yoga accounts and I think, oh my God, I want to do that.
One day, yes.
One day.
I'll try it. And it's like, no, I can't do it. Yeah,
so at the end of last year, we spoke a little bit about naked yoga, which was taking the Southern Hemisphere by storm. Today, I read that there is a New York gym, the name is yet to be released, which is offering naked HIIT and strength and resistance classes. What's your take on that, Georgie Sperling?
Yeah, come on.
I mean, go for it, girl. If you have the confidence to do that, I personally would never get my things out in front of everyone and do HIIT.
Can you imagine on the tube? Georgie, not here.
Yeah, imagine.
Don't imagine. Hit it here.
They give a slight concession. They come up with all these different benefits to your confidence, to your skin being able to breathe, to endorphins. I mean, and they say, if you are a little shy, it's okay. You can wear a nude thong.
That just, my God. That doesn't beat the shyness.
I can relate to it slightly. At dance school, I remember, we were never allowed to dance with our tops on. We had to wear a sports bra. And the reason being that when you look in the mirror your abs are out, you clench them. It's natural instinct. So we were never allowed to wear a lot of clothes dancing purely because they wanted us to look at ourselves.
Uh-huh. You weren't naked though, were you, babe?
We weren't naked.
No, you weren't naked.
I would never, ever get naked.
There's
rules about that. I think, you know, if you have the confidence to do that, I think... thrilling.
If you have the confidence to whip it out, there we go.
If in doubt, get it out. Well, Georgie, thank you so much for coming in to chat to us.
Thank you.
Yeah,
so
it's been amazing. Can we round of applause, please? Georgie Sperling.
Oh, thank
you. This is turning into your new thing, Rachel Downey.
I'm loving the clap today.
I think Rachel's doing an arm workout.
Very odd sentence. I don't have the clap.
Georgie, thank you so much.
Thanks for having me.
We'll see you back in just a few moments.
Bye.
Don't go anywhere.
FUBAR Radio presents
Newsish with Sean Walsh and Mark Simmons.
I've remembered a dream. So I was a seagull, and then I was walking along, and then I saw a fox, right?
Yeah.
And I thought, oh God, the fox is going to eat me.
Yeah.
So I put on a fox mask, but the fox fell for it.
Yeah.
Stupid fox. And then it came up and started having sex with me.
I can't believe this.
I know.
You, was, where, how?
I don't remember.
From behind?
Yeah, it was.
Every Tuesday, Newsish with Sean Walsh and Mark Simmons. From 12 PM.
FUBAR Radio.
I absolutely love Georgie Spurling.
I feel like you've got a bit of a girl crush there.
I really, really do. Is this saying I like the cut of her jib?
I thought you were going to say the cut of her hair.
I like the cut of her hair. No, the cut
but the
of
cut
her
of
jib.
Her jib, that is an expression, but I've never understood what it means. Because to me, a jib is a sail in sailing.
Oh. Maybe I'm deep, Olivia. Maybe I'm just deep. We were talking, by the way, welcome back. This is Pitch Talk. I'm Rachel Downey. I'm joined by the beautiful Olivia Cox.
Hello.
We were just talking then about naked yoga. I want to talk about this a little bit more. Uh-huh. Is this in England or is this in another country?
No, this is in New York. Okay. I don't know
There's
the name of the gym. I will try and find out. I think it might have been embargoed for now to judge people's reaction. But the main thing that they're trying to say is that there are benefits to being naked while you work out. Now, this isn't just yoga. They're suggesting that we do HIIT and strength and resistance training. And there's a slight method in their madness. As Georgie mentioned, you do naturally tense your body if it's out. And thinking back to being at school, we were always made to.
What, Olivia? What are you about to tell us?
Wear leotard and leggings for gym and dance because the teachers needed to be able to see how our bodies were moving.
Yeah.
Now, I don't think that would wash in 2018, but I do think that a trainer being able to see
not
whether
your
you're tensing.
Bits.
No, I know.
Not
yeah,
your
I know.
Rude bits.
Yeah, you know,
they don't as, tense.
As I was finishing that sentence, I wasn't sure where I was going with it. Yeah, it's a funny one.
And what were the benefits? What did they say the benefits were?
It allows your skin to breathe. It releases endorphins. Not sure how.
Clothed exercises do that.
I know.
Yeah, we're going to move on, aren't
Let's
we?
Just go back to yoga because I have just come back from... I'm trying to segue nicely into
this
something
is
else.
Beautiful.
Thanks. Just slide on in. Wrong sentence. I was at the Marbella Club in Marbella and it was a detox wellness retreat. Now, they offer four different packages. One was energising, one was life-affirming. I can't remember all of them. But the one that
package.
I went for, and I should have smelt a rat when the PR came back and said... have you done a detox before? And I went, no, but it, you know, I'm going in January. Why not?
Difficult can it be?
And she said, do you know what it entails? And
yeah,
I was like, no. So I got there and a detox turns out it's pretty hardcore. And essentially it's taking you off of your vices, but it's not as simple as cutting out alcohol, caffeine, that sort of thing. You actually have to cut out pretty much everything. So your diet is very much raw vegetables and salad to make it a probiotic diet because there's so much in the news right now about probiotics and prebiotics. And I have to say, it really, it has changed my attitude towards food, my attitude towards needing meat or fish with every single meal, not touching dairy again. But it gave me a chronic headache, I have to say.
It does so, doesn't it? When those, like the sugars, it's all the withdrawal. But I would be in such a bad mood if I didn't have certain foods
yeah,
and
I was,
drinks.
I was pretty grouchy. But actually, it only the grouchiness and the headacheness and the pure lethargy only lasted about 24 hours. And after that, I actually felt light. I didn't feel hungry. Whereas
okay.
normally, I think because
Ravenous.
I'm so reliant on carbs and easily digestible sugars that my blood sugar level is going absolutely wild. So I think I'm hungry when actually I'm just experiencing a sugar crash.
So, okay, I have a question about this. Here we go.
Okay,
let's
here
see
we
what
go.
Downey has
oh,
to
God.
Say. Could you go on a detox like that but still exercise the way you do?
So I was advised very strongly against exercising. Obviously, being me, I thought, screw you, I can do what I want. So I went to the gym, mid-headache, mid-rage at everyone.
Lucky gym.
My mother called me and I pretty much put the phone down on her because she asked me how my holiday was going.
She's
it's not a
cow.
Holiday.
That mother of yours.
So I got to the gym and I thought, you know what, I'm just going to do a really slow, low intensity cycle. I'm going to put on some Netflix and I started watching Fargo. I did about 12 minutes before I was so drained.
Yeah, you see, so you do need, it's great with these detoxes, but you do still need certain
right.
carbs.
And, but I think actually that it gives you a lot of confidence in your food, actually taking something out. And I haven't always had the best relationship with food and with healthy eating.
Mm.
But I think when you take something out of your diet, you challenge yourself and you sort of, you challenge all your expectations and those preconceptions where you think, oh, I need this, or oh, I can't have that, I'm a bit scared of having blah, you take it out and suddenly you realise, oh, that's what happens to my body if I don't have that. And yes, I know that my body can survive without porridge in the morning, but I don't feel that great.
Do you know, it's a very good point. Yeah, I do think we are preconditioned to, you know, eat, live our lives in a certain way.
Yeah.
When we're hungry, we go for certain foods. We want quick fixes. When we're stressed, you know, you might want to have a drink. It's very easy, I think, for our wellness to slip in today's modern age.
Yes. And
that was good.
Very wordy, Rich, darling.
Thank you very much. My work done.
I think that one of the big problems that we have is that an awful lot of us have a very emotional relationship with food. Mm. So we eat when we're happy. We eat when we're sad. Yeah. We eat when we're bored. And something that the nutritionist said to me when we were in Marbella was, you have to completely reject the emotional side of food and be more mindful when you're eating. So rather, a lot of people will eat on the go, we eat because we're bored, because we're trying to fill a void. But if you actually sit there and you allow yourself to register what you're eating, you probably won't finish that plate of, I was going to say Rice Krispies with custard, but that's not even a thing.
Darling, I'm not finishing my plate. Do you know what? I won't even start it.
Oh, I would. I'm a big custard fan.
Well, there we go. A life lesson for everyone there. So have you tried any new fitness activities as of late, my dear?
I have. And increasingly, what I'm seeing in the fitness trends is that last year, we all wanted to hit, we all wanted to bully our bodies. This year, it seems that we're actually taking a step back and saying, you know what, I'll be a bit kinder. So there are a lot of hybrid classes popping up at places like Body
Bar.
What do you
mean hybrid?
Well, you know, like,
as in like high bread? As in, no, not like high bread, like, oh, I've got some bread, I'm going to put it really high.
Some lofty
loaves.
Oh,
you've got some high bread.
No, hybrid. So a bit of this, a bit of that. So half HIIT and then half meditation, or half hot yoga and then half stretching. So actually placing a huge amount of emphasis on not just getting your body up, but bringing it back down. So it's really tapping into our adrenal glands and accessing what is going on in our bodies that isn't just what our brain's telling it to do. So it's your subconscious and your parasympathetic nervous system actually kicking into play, and the effect that that has on the rest of your day. So for example, you go for a 45-minute workout in your lunch break, you do HIIT, you're really hot, you're really sweaty, then you don't have time to stretch or even really come down from that activity, and you rush off. Your body is pumping so much cortisol and adrenaline, and if you don't
I fall victim to that. That's what I do.
Exactly. And so many of us in this modern age, and we want to be powerful and strong, and we think, oh, I don't need to stretch, I don't need to do that's for weaker people. You don't bring yourself down, and you can end up with this level of cortisol that is so high that actually it can start to affect your hormones and your
body's adrenaline response.
Well, quite, because your body is craving something that you're not giving it, because your body needs to come back down. And we're really good at pushing it and bullying it to come up. And all the CrossFit and the F45 and HIIT of last year, keep doing it, but give yourself time to come back down afterwards.
So talk us through one of these classes. So is it literally two different kind of fitness activities in one?
Yes. So typically, for example, Frame, which has just opened a new branch in Fitzrovia, their new class, I can't remember what it's called, it's something like High and Chi or something, and it's all instructor led. So you've all got your little pod, and you've got your mat and maybe a couple of dumbbells or kettlebells, and she will guide you through essentially a circuit workout, but without moving around. So you're just on your mat doing your exercises, and then the tempo will change, the music might change, or the light might change, and then you're maybe led through a few yoga stretches. Or I think when we were there, we were using ball. This is gonna sound strange, like, you know, those tennis ball type things that you can rub into your fascia, which is the layer just above your muscles. So your fascia, very quickly, because I know we are about to run out of time, it's essentially a cobweb that forms over your muscle. And quite often when we say, oh, I'm really tight, I'm really stiff, I've got crystals, that's your fascia. And you need to break that down, and that can happen by stretching or by using those foam rollers, or
that's
those
balls. They use the foam rollers.
Exactly.
I've always wondered.
Right, so that kind of thing can be led as part of a class.
Yeah.
So that's what they were doing. And they also have this really interesting, and actually Chrome Meditation has this as well in East London, sound waves that
So they're not playing music, they're playing sounds, which is supposed to tap into different... I mean, this might be a bit wishy-washy, but it is supposed to bring your brain into whatever area the class is trying to achieve.
That sounds brilliant.
If you're trying to be energized, there's some sound waves. If you're trying to be chilled, there's other sound waves. And similarly with heat and with light... It's really interesting, actually. I think 2018 is going to be fascinating for the development of trends.
And very, very quickly, because we've got about 30 seconds, where can we find out about places like this? You said Frame?
Frame, Chrome Meditation. I think go to your local gym and find out what classes they're doing, because even in the big chains like Fitness First, Nuffield Health, Virgin Active, they are very on the pulse with bringing out the new fitness classes. So, yeah.
Brilliant.
Happy fitness, everybody.
Happy fitness. That's it. That's all we've got time for on today's, I was going to say, episode of Pitch Talk. We're filmed in front of a live studio audience. No, we are not at all. Thank you for joining us. Do make sure you're back here next Friday, 5 p.m. till 6 p.m. with Olivia Cox and myself, Rachel Downey, for more of the latest breaking sporting news. And we'll have all of the latest from the world of fitness with our fitness
We absolutely
guru.
Will. And don't forget to tweet us at FUBAR Radio. Check out our Instagram at FUBAR Radio or email us pitch@fubarradio.com. I don't know what accent that was. Let's
it was
go.
Beautiful. We'll
Let's
see you
stop.
Very, very soon.
Thank you, guys.
Have a wonderful weekend. Bye, everyone.
This past hour, you've been listening to Pitch Talk with Rachel Downey and Olivia Cox. To listen again, simply go to fubarradio.com or our app, where this episode and all past episodes are free to stream or download. Send all questions, comments or queries to pitch@fubarradio.com or tweet @fubarradio.